Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to AGI Limited's Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the management's opening remarks. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Agarwal, Head Institutional Equities at SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of AGI Greenpac Limited and SKP Securities to this financial results conference call. We have with us Mr. Rajesh Khosla, President and CEO, Mr. Sandeep Sikka, Group CFO, Mr. Om Prakash Pandey, CFO. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Om Prakash Pandey, followed by the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Pandey.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining the AGI Greenpac Q3 FY26 earnings call. For those following along, our detailed earnings presentation is already available on our website and on the stock exchange portals. Before we begin, please note the standard disclaimer regarding forward-looking statement on slide number two of that presentation. I would like to begin with a quick overview of our performance for the 9 months ended 31st December 2025. During the period, the company reported revenue of rupees 1,923 crore, up from rupees 1,824 crore last year. This growth reflects strong performance in select segment and our continued focus on premium products. EBITDA stood at rupees 484 crore, slightly lower than rupees 497 crore in 9 months ended FY25, while profit after tax increased to 236 crore from rupees 226 crore, supported by disciplined cost and expense management. Looking at the quarterly performance in Q3 FY26, AGI Greenpac recorded revenue from operation of rupees 634 crore, EBITDA of rupees 154 crore, and profit after tax of rupees 71 crore, which includes exceptional item of rupees 5.09 crore related to estimated impact of the labor code implementation. Revenue improved sequentially, while EBITDA saw a slight decline, reflecting market dynamics and pricing adjustment across the segments. Looking at profitability, EBITDA margin were lower compared to the same period last year, mainly due to the combined effect of muted volume in certain product category and adjustments in average sales realization. That said, we continue to maintain our 12 to 18 months margin guidance, excluding non-operating income in the range of 24%-25% margin, based assessed on annualized basis rather than quarter-to-quarter basis. On the balance sheet front, we remain financially strong. During Q3, the company completed the prepayment of remaining ECB loans in December 2025, resulting in nil ECB borrowing as of 31st December 2025. Net book debt stood at approximately rupees 389 crore, providing us with the flexibility to support future growth initiative. The slight increase was partly due to delay in order deliveries in certain product categories. Now, I will hand over the call to Mr. Rajesh Khosla to walk you through the key strategic and business highlights that underpin our continued growth trajectory.
Good evening, and thank you, Mr. Pandey. Mr. Pandey has walked you through the financial performance for the 9-month ended December 31st, 2025. Building on that overview, I'll focus on the business, our execution priorities, and the growth roadmap ahead. Talking about the container glass, our sales volume increased around 10% over Q2 FY26, though they were slightly lower by 2% compared to Q3 FY25. Capacity utilization remained strong at around 95%. On the pricing front, sales realization decreased by approximately 450 rupees per ton versus Q2 FY26 and rupees 1200 per ton versus Q3 FY25. These variations are primarily due to the regular adjustment built into our contracts with the liquor customer and other customers, where pricing is reviewed in line with the key raw material cost movement, typically flowing through the one quarter lag. Turning to the specialty glass business, sales volume were largely flat compared to FY26, but up more than 13% over Q3 FY25. With capacity utilization at around 85%, realization improved significantly, increasing by around 900 rupees per ton versus Q2 FY26 and 6,800 rupees per ton as compared to Q3 FY25. Overall volume in commercial glass business were subdued this quarter, particularly in the beer segment due to seasonal factor and temporary deferment of deliveries by the customer on account of weather-related considerations. We expect volumes to recover and normalize in the coming quarter. Over the past 9 months, we have continued to strengthen the company through disciplined execution and a clear focus on premium and specialty segment. Our strategy remains centered on operational excellence, timely capacity additions, and portfolio diversifications to build a resilient and scalable business. On the operation front, we have delivered the strong progress. The container glass debottlenecking project has been fully completed and commissioned, increasing capacity to 1,900 tons per day, well ahead of the earlier March 26 timelines. This earlier completion reflects our execution capabilities and enhances our ability to serve customers reliably and efficiently. With commercial container glass plant operating at approximately 95% utilization, we continue to see through strong demand and high level of operational efficiency across our plants. In specialty glass, the capacity expansion to 200 tons per day is progressing as planned and remain on track for completion by March 26. Demand continues to be steady from high margin segment such as pharmaceutical, cosmetic and premium beverages, with existing capacities operating at around 85% utilization, reflecting healthy demand and efficient operations. Our greenfield container glass facility in Madhya Pradesh is also advancing steadily. Land acquisition has been completed, civil construction is underway, and procurement of key machinery is in progress, with major equipment contracts being finalized alongside statutory and regulatory approvals. Scheduled for commissioning in March 27, the 500 tons per day facility is expected to increase our glass container capacity by approximately 25% and significantly strengthen our footprints across key consumption markets, particularly in north of India. In parallel, our strategic entry into the aluminium beverage can segment remains on schedule. Equipment procurement is in final stages for the annual capacity of 1.6 billion cans. This expansion complements our glass business, strengthens key customer relationship, and enhances our ability to offer a broader range of high demand sustainable liquid packaging solution. Looking ahead, the long-term fundamentals of glass and sustainable packaging remain strong. With completed capacity addition, a growing premium product portfolio, and continued operation discipline, we are well poised to capture future growth. We remain focused on building a diversified future-ready business and on creating a sustainable long-term value for our shareholders. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, sir. Should I go ahead and open the floor for the Q&A?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Each participant is requested to limit to a maximum of 2 questions. Time permitting, we shall revert for any further questions that you may have that remain unanswered. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may please press star and 1 to ask questions. The first question is from the line of Anil Shah from Insightful Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, sir, just wanted to check, you know, we've consistently spoken about 8 to 10% revenue growth. Of course, now when I look at the first 9 months cumulative, we are up about 5.4 and we just have a quarter to go. So, you know, what really transpired in the third quarter? Clearly, you know, revenue was not up to your possibly our expectations. So that's the first question. You know, on the second question is, you know, could you just explain clearly our, what's in mind in terms of our entry into retail? Could you just specify what exactly are we looking to do? You know, are we looking to build brands? What's going to be our spend? And while we understand everything will be outsourced, but, you know, in terms of building brands, do we have some limits in terms of what we are looking to spend on? And, you know, when 2 greenfield projects are on, do we really need to go on to something different? That's, you know, the most important question that I really had.
Okay. Let me reply to you. I understand first 2 questions of yours. What exactly has transpired in quarter 3, which basically should have been a normal thing? You might have read some reports from some of the top beverage manufacturers in India and even in the world. They have been talking that because of the extended rains and the extreme winters, particularly in the whole of India, there has been a very subdued demand of various beverage segment, particularly in the beer segment. So because of this subdued demand in the beer segment, because of these extended rains and a flooding in a lot of areas, so this demand has not picked up and it has been little low than the normal demand in this period. So this has been the reason for the little small correction and a shade below our expectation. Number 2 is what exactly we want to do in the retail. We are already in the retail business as on date. We are selling our products in the retail business on online, offline, on our Horeca, on our various departmental store. So this business is already on. But what happens is with the new FTA agreements between India and EU, India and UK, India and Australia, and within the India also, a lot of customers are asking that we should try to serve them with the filled products. Say, for example, like a diffuser or a perfume or something like that. So we should give them the full end-to-end service so that they don't have to go anywhere else to get it done. So India is already shaping up as a good hub of the manufacturing segment. So we thought of that we can always give this sort of a facility and a service to our customers where we can give them end-to-end. So this is a new concept we are trying to evolve and to serve our customer as on today. We are not saying that we are going to build a brand with that, but we are going to serve as a OEM to the brand owners so that they don't have to go anywhere. At a single shop, at a single place, we will be able to serve them the products which are primarily packed in our bottles.
So would that entail some manufacturing to be set up? Or is so you're saying we are not doing brand building, so are we then going to do manufacturing?
No, we are not doing a brand building. Our core business is to sell the glass containers. So we are selling the glass containers, but we do have a lot of manufacturers on our panel, so they will be our. We are going to outsource that activity to get it filled from them and then serve our customers to them. And tomorrow, when the business will grow up and the business will shape up, then probably we will think of on the next step of manufacturing having our own manufacturing facility. But as on today, we are going to get it done through outsource activity with that.
Right. So, and you know, as we begin the Q4, are we seeing this subdued demand due to the weather conditions easing a bit and things looking up?
It looks like that now. Everything has been okay, and things are normal, and everything will pick up. So there is nothing lost as such, but it is a postponement, I can say like that. It is there. So at the end of the day, we will be restricted to our capacity. So whatever capacity we are having, so we are going to achieve almost whatever is our target of the capacity side. So Q4 will be able to take care of whatever is the shortfall in the Q3. So we are quite hopeful with that.
So can we still paint something? Can we still think of an 8%-10% value growth for the whole year as such? That was our original revenue growth guidance.
See, whenever we are dealing in a commoditized products, like even a glass also, where the price of the glass is also dependent on the price of the raw materials.
Sure.
Whenever the price of the raw materials are low, the selling prices automatically adjust accordingly. Yes, on a growth side of, I can say, volume side or on a metric ton side, I think we will be touching close to 7 to 8, 9%, something like that, we are going to end up. But yes, on the value side, I think so there may be a little bit of correction here and there, but that is primarily because of adjustment of the raw material prices, which are
Understood.
Directly reflected in your selling prices.
So just last question as a follow-up. Volume growth for the first 9 months was how much, sir?
Hello?
Yeah, volume growth for the first 9 months was how much, sir?
On the container glass, we did around 8% volume growth.
On container glass, it was about
On the commercial glass, we did around 8%+, and on the specialty glass, we were at you asked volume growth?
More than 22% growth.
Yeah, more than 22%.
Volume growth. Okay. Thank you. I'll be in the queue for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreya Chatterjee from Ageless Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Good evening. My first question is on the volatility of the contracts that are priced in terms of volume term. So for the specialty and the you know, this container glass as well, what sort of fluctuations can we expect apart from that broad range of growth? What sort of fluctuations we can expect, given there's a seasonality in demand, similar to what happened in Q3? And what would be the impact on EBITDA, given that we have commissioned the facility earlier, before March 2026, and the next facility is going to come on March 2027? So if you could just give a brief breakdown on these two.
I think if I understood your question completely, part one, let me reply to you. If my answer is not in line with what you have asked, so you can again ask me the same. See, I understand that you are talking what are the factors are there which can really impact the curve or impact the growth of the glass industry in both in cosmetic and commercial glass. Is my understanding right,
yes,
ma'am?
Yes. And how does that variability price
that is
the contract?
That is a part two of that. So we'll do that.
Yeah.
In the part one question, of course, because whenever you are planning with the assumptions that all the factors are within the reasonable level of fluctuation and everything will fall in line.
But yes, there are some extreme things and some turbulences in the whole area, which slightly, I cannot say derail, but disturbed a bit, and where you postpone your total sales from quarter one to quarter two, quarter two to quarter three, and quarter three to quarter four, something like that. So these factors are, let's say, for example, this time it has happened with the extreme rain, with the heavy rains and a flooding. Obviously, there was a subdued demand on the beer side, which probably I think you can easily assess the information which is in public domain by the top beverages company of the world. So they have also published the same thing with that part. So that is one part. Secondly, though we have grown very, very in a big way in our normal, what do you call, specialty glass, we have grown in a big way. But yes, the tariffs which has been imposed in USA, they have the rippling effect somewhere to the industry. Okay. Then probably there are other factors. Rupee depreciation is a factor, and then there is a growth is a factor. So there are various factors and all. And what I can congratulate, I think, to my team members, in spite of all those things, the growth, the trajectory has been well maintained, and we have been able to deliver quite good, reasonable results with all those factors in there. And see, we are to be more concerned on some of the factors which can be a permanent factor. So temporary factors are not to be much of the concern, but I think we have to live with that, and we have to see how we can reasonably lower down the impact of these type of factors. So Q3 was the factor which was more on the rain side, which nobody can do it. It's a factor which has been God factor. So probably I think we have to live with that. We have to see that what maximum can be taken out, and we have taken out everything. So there is a very, very shade below our targeted numbers were there, which is less than 2%. So it hardly matters with that. But yes, Q4 targets will be taken care properly.
And so what about the EBITDA margin or the trend in EBITDA margin or EBITDA per ton, if you could give some guidance with next year also facilities coming in, March 27th?
Okay. Mr. Sikka, you will reply or shall I do that?
Yeah, please go ahead. Yeah, if you see, you know, we have been, giving guidance EBITDA per ton ranging 9,500 to 10,500. And these are excluding, you know, other non-operating incomes. So if we are in this range, actually, you know, 1,000 rupee range is there between 9,500 to 10,500. It's a mix of, various factors. On the specialty glass, we are doing fairly well now. Wherein EBITDA per ton, especially in the last two quarters, have done fairly well. And they are in a good digit number. But on the commercial glass, I think we'll maintain a consistent approach of 9,500 to 10,500.
Mr. Sikka, the thing is, ma'am, the EBITDA numbers, because we are dealing with the input side, we are dealing with a lot of commodities, like it's oil, natural gas, soda ash and all. And these sometimes they are very temporarily, they spike up and they come down. Temporarily, which nobody else can do. Let's say, for example, in the case of war in that side, so the oil gets spiked up for some time. There is a less of a availability. Even the natural gas spiked up for some quarter or so. So which is not temporary, which cannot be even adjusted in the price also, because things are very temporary. So those things can have the impact on the numbers. But overall, when we see on a long term, it looks like that everything is reasonably well balanced, and we hope to continue with our numbers, whatever has been committed to our investors.
So if I may ask, what would be the steady state EBITDA per ton for specialty glass, and what is it currently now?
No, ma'am, we do not disclose the numbers of EBITDA per ton. We do not disclose. So it is just the percentage EBITDA which is there. And it is in line with in line with whatever we have been achieving. I can say it is close to around 25%, 26% number in the specialty class.
Okay, sir. And so what is the range that we see post this March 27 sanctioning for the EBITDA margin?
March 27. So we hope to maintain the same, because next year, I think next year the growth will be okay, and our new facilities are coming. So there will be much larger growth we expect once the facilities are, when the facilities will start up, because 25% of the capacity will be added up at that time. On the percentage side, we will maintain in the same band whatever we have been doing in last years. So in the same band, we'll be able to maintain our EBITDA percentages. But yes, there will be a small de-bottlenecking will be there, and a growth is expected on the same. But the bigger growth is expected once our new facilities will be on target.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions at this time. The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, team. Thank you so much for taking my question. Hopefully, I'm audible. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Hi. So just wanted to, you know, get a bit color in terms of FY27. So from what I can understand, that all our major capex is coming towards the end of FY27. So FY27 as a whole would be, you know, how would you quantify in terms of our revenue growth? Because I think we have some small debottlenecking happening and we're already running at 95%, you know. So in terms of revenue, how, what can we be at, you know, in FY27, sir?
Mr. Sikka?
Yeah, yeah. So I think when you see, although we have given guidance for FY25-26 at around 8-10% growth, Mr. Khosla spoke about it, that in terms of volumes, we have been consistent, which is there. Next year, we feel that we should be able to further grow on the volume side by around 3-4% on the container glass, and another, you know, around 7-10% on the specialty glass, given the fact that now when you see the trends of Q3, Q4, a lot of our capacities on specialty glass are also now getting picked up. So overall, for FY27, I'll say maintaining a growth chart of around 8%, 9%. And this is purely on volume base right now. The commodities may change, the commodity prices may change drastically given the lot of global factors which can impact the businesses. So right now we can give guidances more on, you know, how the volumetric growth can happen on the glass business side, given the fact that it constitutes around 89-90% of our business. But major chunk of growth, as Rajesh was talking, our project, which is a greenfield project in Madhya Pradesh, 500 ton, is right on the right path, right speed. We are very hopeful that FY27-28 we should be able to load, you know, the furnaces very fast. So from the market perspective, I think the visualization has to be seen from, you know, 27-28 more, that we will be adding somewhere around, you know, 25% capacity, and we feel that around 15-17% growth happening in FY27-28, which is purely coming from the incremental capacity from the new plant.
So okay, fair enough, sir. That helps a lot, sir. And so just wanted to know, like, two questions, sir. One is, like, when we, you know, when glass prices, you know, are declining, but our, you know, EBITDA per ton would be, you know, fixed, right? So that way, optically, our margins should look better, right? Because our, you know, top line is kind of getting a hidden value, but our volumes are increasing, right? So our EBITDA margins can take, you know, can be a bit higher than what they are right now. Is that, like, a fair way to look at it?
So if you see, in the past, we have been maintaining a consistent margin, as Rajesh also spoke of on the last question, you know. at least for next 12 to 18 months, we'll keep the guidance, our EBITDA margins ranging 24% to 25% on the overall mix basis. You know, mathematically, you know, I understand it may look difficult, but you know, you have a container glass, you have a different segments of the container glass, you have a specialty glass, and you have other business like caps and closures and other stuff. So on the overall product portfolio wise, I think 12 to 18 months, our internal assessment based on the current market conditions, 24% to 25%, I think consistent EBITDA we should be able to maintain.
Okay, fair enough, sir. And just one question, sir. You know, I was just reading some reports where it's saying that, you know, Gen Z and millennials are drinking a bit less. So what do you see from an industry point of view that maybe not right now, maybe on a longer term, is there a chance of that, you know, there'd be kind of softness in demand of alcohol itself, right? Will that, and how will that impact us? And, you know, and I know we've already gotten into specialty to diversify, but just wanted your, you know, thoughts.
Yes, I'll answer you with this. The new generation is drinking quite a less alcohol. The overall demand contraction globally has happened around 1%. On the alcohol side. But on the other side, we are talking of only one part of the business where less of the alcohol is consumed, but more of the non-alcohol part is being consumed. Say, for example, there is a lot of demand which has grown in the non-alcoholic beer side. There is a lot of demand which has grown in the beverages side. So, but these things are impacting more in Europe and more in USA because they have a saturation on the consumption side. But in India, the saturation is quite, the demand is quite low. Say, for example, in the case of beer, in case of India, the beer consumption is just 2 liters per capita per year. But wherever in European country, in some of the European country, the demand is as high as 200 liters per capita per year. And if you take the moderate one in other countries, it is anywhere between 75 liters per capita per year to 100 liters per capita per year. And we are around 2 liters. So if we see, there is a lot of demand which is very, very low in India. So I don't think so. It looks very very clear. This type of impact on the generation which is consuming less of the alcohol will come up not today. It's a matter of, say, next 20, 25 years when we will saturate at that demand and the real impact of the less drinking will come on us. So on the one side, the demand is increasing because of the population, GDP increase, and the money which is coming to the hands of the people because of that. And on the other side, there is a less of the consumption. So these two things, they countervail, and there is a total impact. Okay, total impact may not be, let's say, 100, but total impact may be around 90. So, but there is an impact of, positive impact of 90. So, this is more of the problem in the Western countries.
Okay, fair enough. And so, just wanted to ask, like, in terms of the retail diversification, so, from what I understand that we will customers are already buying the product where our packaging is being used. So we will, you know, now will we fill our goods or how will we, you know, just how would the logistics look like? Can you just give an example if that would just, you know, be really helpful, like in terms of perfume, is there or anything else just?
Okay. Yeah. We are trying to tap all the opportunities which exist in the market. Though our core business is a glass business, but to sell the glass, to promote the glass, and to make the glass available to the right people, even if we have to do a little bit of extra work or value addition, we are ready to do that so that our end product should reach to the consumer and the customer. Now what is happening, whenever there are OEMs, there are big brands are there, they are not doing like that. They're buying glass bottles and they're getting it filled. So they give the contract to the contract manufacturer and then the whole game is with the contract manufacturer so that they can buy and they can collect the bottles and liquid and caps and other things from different sources combined together and sell it to the brand owner. So what we are trying to do, to have a more command on our product. We are going to the OEM and telling him, we want to sell our glass bottle. In case you don't want to buy a glass bottle alone, we are ready to give you the full end-to-end service so that our glass bottle should be able to reach to the to the brand owner. So to do all that thing, so we have a tie-up with the service provider. So service provider will integrate with us. They will provide whatever is required by the brand owner, and we will get it outsourced, this activity, and then we can ship it directly to the brand owner. So that in between, our dependency on contract manufacturer of brand owner should not be there. We should be able to command our own products to the end customer.
Okay, okay. So if I could just, you know, understand that we'll basically be like the chef where, you know, everything we are sourcing and just then, you know, making the dish and sending across, right? So in this type of business, what would, you know, our margins and outlook look like any kind of investments that, you know, we'll have to make? I'm not saying in terms of manufacturing, maybe, you know, marketing or, you know, hiring people, because this is more newer set of business, right? So what do we, roadmap for it?
We are not hiring because we are already in that business. We are already in touch with the customer. So this is the additional facility we are going to do. Yes, on the back-end side, to get it done properly, we may require some few hands to take care, to integrate and to line up and coordinate with those outsource activities. So those are the small things which are required by them. And secondly, we are not building the brand, so there is no such marketing expense as such for them. And regarding the margin side, again, I'm saying, our main focus is to sell our core products of the glass. This activity, which we are doing, additional activity, is basically to support our glass, which is going to them. So the margins, we may be able to get some good margins, or it can be just a service so that we are able to sell our glass properly. But on a long-term basis, our glass availability and a placement of glass to the direct OEM is certainly going to help us, not only for a high-end glass, but also to have a stability and reliability of the end customer. Because end customer is more stable than the contract manufacturer. Because contract manufacturer has a more bargaining power. So in that case, in future, we may lose it on account of our margins or something. But in case of direct customer, we may be able to gain something more better, and more value-added products can be given to them. So you are cutting the channel in between and going directly to the customer. So obviously, all the advantages of going directly to the customer will be added to us, or will be come to us.
Okay, okay. Fair enough. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Anil Shah from Insightful Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks again for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. So far, for both these projects...
Can you call you about specialty glass volume growth? That was somewhere around 7%.
Oh, specialty was 7%.
And the value growth on specialty was another 8%. So, you know, that
is... So we are approximately for the company as a whole, we are running at 7-8%.
Yeah, but major chunk of growth when you see Q3 versus Q3, that is somewhere around 13%. So basically last 2-3 quarters, the efficiency at the specialty glass has been very high. So okay. The volumes have...
Okay. Okay. So just a couple of questions. For the both the new greenfield projects, how much would we have so far disbursed in terms of land, in terms of some advances to... for advances for some machineries, so licenses, so on and so forth.
Yeah, Mr. Pandey, can you take this? So you're talking about the CapEx?
Yeah, correct. But yeah, for both, for the 500 tons greenfield and for the aluminium cans.
Yeah, I'm coming to both. So on the Gwalior side, land acquisition already done.
Correct.
LCs for equipment supplies have been established. And we feel the equipment should start coming in Q2 and Q3 into the civil construction is going on. And we feel by 31st March 27, the production should be up running. There can be one quarter here and there in terms of, you know, stabilizing the quality and other stuff, as is very usual with the greenfield site.
Sure.
The CAN project, land has been identified. Government is in a process of releasing that land as per our information. The negotiation with the equipment supplier is already completed. Once we have a formal confirmation of a land, we immediately will start. And then there also the lead time for the equipment period is somewhere around 11 months to 12 months. So all the work on the ground has been completed. As such, I think the major chunk of spend will come next year. And we feel that somewhere around 1100 crores to 1200 crores spend should happen next year. And remaining in FY28, which will be more on the CAN side.
And so far, would we have, you know, spent about a couple of hundred crores yet or no?
Yes, we would have essentially spent somewhere around 60-70 crores on the overall land acquisition, doing some ground studies and other stuff.
Okay. And the debt that we are now talking about, the net debt at 389 crores is after, you know, whatever cash outflows happened for this land. And,
yes. Has not been that great for Q3, as Rajesh has already spoken. Also, we built up some inventories. So working capital is slightly bloated. That's a temporary effect. So once those inventories get diluted, working capital will come down. The long-term debt which is there is somewhere around 220 crores, and of which somewhere around 30-40 crores is relating to the newer capex. Rest is the old, which we are just trying to prepay.
Okay. And so what's the status of the appeal that we had, you know, with the Delhi High Court, especially for, you know, the acquisition which has been done for H&M?
The hearing is right now going on at this juncture, as we talk to you.
Okay, so it's still hearing stages. We have not done any, when do you see some decision, basically? I mean, I know it's
all subjudice. Very difficult to comment on this.
Right. And, you know, have we seen any, you know, any incremental supply coming in from the new owners now that, you know, operationally the plants and that company, the entire capacity is moved to the new people?
So very difficult to comment on the competition as such right now, but I think those capacities were already operating for last so many years.
Correct.
It's all a part of the entire market game which is there. Difficult for us to comment on anything relating to the competition.
Right. So basically, you know, the confidence of at least 8 to 10% volume growth and maintaining 24 to 25% margins, that's there for the next 12, 18 months. Of course, value growth subject to raw material movement, and hence I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying 8 to 10% volume growth, because we've just done some, we've just done some minor expansion, both at the specialty and at the container side. So that should help us in 27 as well. So 8 to 10% volume growth and steady margins between 24-25% is very much on the cards.
Yes.
Yes. And so with the kind of, you know, the kind of spend that you talked about, 1100 to 1200 crores next year itself.
Yep.
I mean, obviously you've taken approval for a QIP or a fundraise, let's put it that way. Any thoughts, you know, are we happy to fund this if markets remain where they are and you're not happy with the price, are we happy to fund this with entire debt for a short period of whatever, for a period of time?
I think the whole the logic of doing the QIP resolution is that we should have an enabling resolution in place and the approvals of the shareholder. So whenever we feel the time, the price and markets are ready, we can do. But in the interim, we are in process of tying up the entire debt which is required to complete this project. So we already have a stable EBITDA run rate which is there.
Okay.
And given the fact that the existing debt will get almost paid off by the time all this new debt gets commissioned as a part of the P&L, right now they are the capitalization.
Correct.
So we feel that maybe if we don't raise equity, there will be some little bit of a leverage. But at the right time and more, we internally feel that more nearing the completion of the projects, market should be able to see the value which we are trying to generate. And we should be able to complete the transaction.
Yeah, but hypothetically we are okay with debt because, you know, assuming we can continue to show 600 crores EBITDA, our debt will be 1200 crores, we'll be EBITDA to debt of 2x, which is not,
yes,
which is not,
I think that's
off the chart.
Not a bad leverage. When you are trying to create a capacity, and that's not a bad leverage from our side.
Yeah, so I'm saying, even if closer to commercialization, if markets continue to remain subdued, we can continue with this kind of debt even up to, you know, even at the continuation of FY28 and, you know, see how the new capacities ramp up. Of course, EBITDA will move up further, cash flows will move up further. Correct?
Yes, yes. So let's say hypothetical model, let's say we build even a debt of, let's say, 1200 to 1400 crores for this. All the incremental capacities will lead to incremental EBITDA and incremental free cash flows from operation. So ultimately, all that money, if you see in the past last 4 years, we have paid off the debt with internal approvals, all the capex which has been done for revamping our existing furnaces and also debottlenecking our facilities. Everything happened from the internal accrual. So the quantum of free cash flows are available with us, and that will also bring down the debt in a time. But we are also open to raise equity, and maybe, you know, if that can accelerate the growth on our businesses.
No, I get this. It's just that I think there could be a, you know, one-off year where capacities take time to ramp up. And, you know, as soon as we start commercial production.
That's very normal. You know, like the critical path of the game is creating a quality capacity which is able to generate a cost optimum, you know, value in a right quality.
No, absolutely.
If you have created them, then you have won the long-term war, you know.
No, see, from a shareholder perspective, sir, all we can say is rather than diluting things at these kind of valuations, it's okay to carry that risk if the management is confident, you know. I mean, that's the way we look at things, right?
So I think the promoter's interest, because they think the largest shareholder, they will also.
Sure. Right, sir. I understand. Thank you. Thank you for answering these questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Mukherjee from SKP Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. What was the capex spend for the 9-month period?
So we have spent around 150 crores in 9 months, and major chunk of spend has been on the glass business, wherein, you know, we are expanding our lines. We are further trying to optimize our operation cost in some facilities, and almost 75-80% of the spend is towards the you know, further nurturing of the glass business.
Okay, sir. And what's our target for this year? That means
this year, overall, I think given the fact that 150 plus, I think in Q4, now given fact, another 20-30 crores, because still that debottlenecking of specialty glass line is happening, so we should spend another 25 crores.
Okay, sir. And sir, my next question is, what is your assessment on the RM inputs cost, like RM inputs prices, like soda ash and fuel oil prices, if you can.
Okay.
What is your RM?
So you are talking of the raw material prices, input prices. So there are so many inputs are there. Say, for example, like you are talking about the soda ash. If you are following the soda ash part, so there was a minimum import price, MIP, and there was a anti-dumping duty investigation which has been done by the government to put up anti-dumping duty, but they have lost the anti-dumping duty and there is no anti-dumping duty. So there was a little bit of spike in the price side in soda ash,
right,
but then after they lost the anti-dumping duty, it has been stabilized. But now the soda ash prices looks to be stable, because in the overall global market demand side, I think the total demand and supply is almost is stable. It's close to 60 million tons globally. So I don't think so there can be any spike in prices of soda ash as on today. Yes, the factors which are global factors, which are global politics factor, that I'm not considering, that the war between A country and B country, what impact can have, too difficult to assess the same. But overall, from a business side, it looks like that the soda ash part is stable. Coming back to the oil. See, oil is again directly proportional to the crude oil prices. And the crude oil prices, if we see the scenario on the US side, where they are drilling as much oil as possible. So it looks like that the US will always try to stabilize the oil prices globally. And on the other side, the war, or there is destabilization in Venezuela or Iran or somewhere, these things can push the price a little bit more. So too difficult to assess that because it is beyond our capacity to assess. But yes, all these factors looks like that. On one side, there can be a spike. On the other side, it can be low also. So it looks like that with all the war situation, global situation, these things will be remaining in the band itself. If they are in the band, obviously the prices in India on the furnace oil side, on the gas side, will also remain in the proper band only. So I don't see, there is no reason we can see that there can be anything which can derail the price part of the input side. I don't think so.
And in the quarter gone by, sir, the soda ash prices really has given a short spike. So did it impact our EBITDA margin or RM cost?
See, since we have a system where quite a big number of our sale, we have pegged it against our formula-based pricing on the input side. But if the input prices changes on permanent basis or on semi-permanent basis, then only it comes in the picture of calculation. But if they are small spikes, or they can be low also, and they are temporary, that's what I'm saying, because of some rain problem or this problem or shutdown problem or anything problem, if there is increase or decrease of the prices, they can give you headwind or tailwind temporary, which cannot be coming in the in your formula-based or pricing system. So those headwinds and tailwinds can give a boost in your margins at some time, or they can even subdue your margin for temporary on that quarter, on that period time.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question for today, which is from the line of Praveen Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Please.
Yeah. Sir, means I will, carrying out from the last participant, being a long-term investor, and we find a lot of value in the company. My only question is that, there was a recent news clip on CNBC somewhere in the end of November that there is a QIP of 500 crores with a greenshoe option of 800 crores, up to 800 crores. So given after that the price has fallen sharply, around 25-30% fall has been there in our company share price. So given this scenario, will we come up with a QIP and dilute the equity from here on? Because 800 crores is like 20% of the market cap. So I would like you to allay our fears being a long-term investor and you know, we have been there with the company for a very long time, and similarly, there will be many more investors.
So, first, I think we never gave any news that we are about to close such a transaction. So, company has shareholder approval to do a QIP transaction.
Yes.
And I think to a question of Mr. Anil Shah, which was taken, I think, a few questions back.
Mm-hmm.
So, since we are doing two major spend, we may raise equity at a particular time, depending on how our projects have matured, point number one. Secondly, how our free cash flows are panning out during that period. What is the market price? I understand and I appreciate the dilution concern for the public shareholder, but it's a similar concern with the largest shareholder, who is the promoter. So, be rest assured, you know, we are not here to, you know, destroy anybody's value, but in other way around, we are here to create value for all our stakeholders for a very long run. We are very thankful for your long-term investments, which you have supported us, you know. So, be rest assured on that, but I think raising equity may be required, but depending on the timing, pricing, you know, number of factors.
Great, sir. Great. And are we open to look at right issue? Because that will give opportunity to everyone. But for the quantum and the time it takes.
So right now, as I said, you know, at an appropriate time, we'll talk, and I think we'll get back. We'll take feedback from our shareholders as required, if any. So we'll take those appropriate actions at the right time.
Great, sir. Great. Thank you. That was very comforting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. Please get in touch with SKP Securities for any unanswered or follow-up questions. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Sikka for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
So first of all, thanks everybody who joined the call today. I hope due to paucity of time, we may have missed one or two questions. It's always ready to, you know, answer those questions. Just please write to our investor relation agency or write to us. We'll be very happy to get back to you. But I feel most of the questions have been answered. They have been rightfully asked. So thanks again for joining us on the call.
Thank you, members of the management. Thank you, sir. On behalf of SKP Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.